We're going to start a series called How to Keep Yourself from the Wicked One. I want us to go to 1 John chapter 5, and I want to read some passages of Scripture. And before I get into that, let me just say this, that you may have to turn your religious head off to receive some of the things that we're going to say concerning this, because what I'm about to say is not too religious. But it is Bible. It's the Word of God. So many people think, well, you know, we just struggle through this life and just leave it all up to God. Lord, just the Lord's protecting, perfecting us through the trials and the tests and the troubles and the problems. Well, we're going to find out different from the Word of God. We're going to find out how you can keep yourself from the wicked one. In 1 John chapter 5, let's begin reading there with I believe it's verse 17. All unrighteousness is sin. There is a sin, not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one toucheth him not. Now, I want to read that again, because some of you ought to get your Bible out and look at it in the Bible, in your own Bible. Because my Bible reads just like yours. We're in 1 John chapter 5, reading now with verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Or, in other words, he doth not practice sin. Certainly Christians that make mistakes and from time to time sin. But thank God we don't have to say we're sinners. We're not sinners saved by grace. We are the righteousness of God, born of the Spirit of God. And here he says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, or doth not continually commit sin. But he is begotten of God and keepeth himself. Notice, he keepeth himself, and the wicked one toucheth him not. Now, he's telling you something that you do. See, quite often, so many people think, well, now, wait a minute, I can't do that. Well, he says you can do it. He said the wicked one toucheth him not. He that is born of God, the wicked one toucheth him not. Now, let's read another verse here, or maybe two more verses. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given unto us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. We are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Now, he's telling us something that will help you in this matter of keeping yourself from the wicked one. We know that the Son of God is come, hath given us an understanding. We have an understanding that God has made available to us certain abilities and powers through the Word of God, through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that we as individual Christians can keep ourselves from the wicked one. Yeah, I know what some of you are thinking. Well, now, you know, but you know, people just have a hard time in this life. And you know, the devil is so strong, and he's so powerful, he's so great, he's so almighty. No. Now, that's not what God's Word says. See, we've read some of those things into the Bible, but they're just simply not there. It will astound you when you go to the Word of God, the Bible, and begin to search out to find out what kind of power the devil has. You see, his power is almost totally limited to his deception. What he can deceive you into believing, what he can deceive you into doing, are using your creative power, the ability that God has given you through the faith-filled words of your mouth. He'll deceive you into using those against yourself. Well, it's time that we, the body of Christ, begin to wake up and begin to look into some of these things and realize that Satan doesn't have power over us. He is a defeated foe. Jesus defeated him, thank God, and he's still defeated today. We just need to learn how to grab a hold of God's Word, use it in our behalf, and put the devil in his place. Thank God. Yes, you can keep yourself from the wicked one. Well, we're going to find out how to do that. See, it's not all up to God. Too many times, Christians have just thought, well, you know, it's just all up to God. It's not, I'll just turn it over to God. I just prayed and just turned it all over to God. Well, now, wait a minute. God has just turned it over to you. And he's given you the authority to resist the devil. You know, in James 4:7, it says, submit yourself unto God. Now, see, the problem is too many people don't want to do that. They don't want to submit themselves unto God. Then it says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. If you don't submit yourself unto God, then the devil is certainly not going to flee from you. For the first thing, you're not going to resist him if you don't submit yourself unto God. That's number one. If you don't submit yourself unto God, you won't want to resist the devil. It was like two young converts was talking, and one of them said to the other, said, say, does bad thoughts bother you since you've been born again? Says, does bad thoughts just torment you? He said, no. He said, they used to, but he said, I got to where I kind of like them now. Well, you see, if you entertain those things, that's exactly what the devil wants you to do. No, you can resist the devil. The Bible says, submit yourself unto God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. You can't keep the devil from putting bad thoughts in your mind, but you can sure keep them from staying there. You can cast them down. Get rid of them. Thank God, because God has given you the ability to keep yourself from the wicked one. Now, that's what God's Word says. I want to read that scripture again. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, or does not continually practice sin, but he is begotten of God and keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. All right, let's find out how to do that. Now, John shared with us some things in this chapter here and also in the fourth chapter of 1 John, how to do that. Number one, I would list this as number one under that, be born of God. Being born of God is number one of how to keep yourself from the wicked one. Now, certainly, absolutely not. That's not going to keep the devil from coming against you, but it's the number one place to start. You see, I've had people to say, well, now, you know, I didn't really have any trouble, Brother Caps, until I got born again and began to serve God. Then the devil began to give me trouble and things began to go wrong. Well, certainly that doesn't mean you're going to be immune to these things just because you were born again. But notice, being born again is the number one step of being able to keep yourself from the wicked one. Now back up there to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. And notice what it says there. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now, what he is saying here, this is the beloved John writing and said, whosoever is born of God, or is born again of the Spirit of God, he is the one that overcomes the world. Oh, yeah, you can overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil, and all of the unseen forces that have come against you if you'll learn by the scriptural methods of how to apply the pressure on the devil. He said, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. In other words, faith is the victory. Being born of God causes you to have a measure of faith. The Bible said God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. That measure of faith causes you to have world-overcoming faith. Now, you can develop that. I want you to know that. You can develop your faith and you can carry it further into this area, and it'll help you in many other areas of life. But when he said, whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, then we'd have to place that number one under how to keep yourself from the wicked one. First of all, be born again. Be born of the Spirit of God, and you will have faith that will overcome the world. Now, you may not use it to overcome the world. See, now, this is where some people miss it. Many Christians miss it in this area. They have the faith of God within them. They've been born of God, but they're too easy to stray away from what they know God said about them, and therefore they don't overcome the world. Now back up to chapter 4. Let's notice again that John says in verse 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now who's he talking about? Overcoming the Antichrist, the devil, the demons, and all the evil forces that would come against you. He says you have overcome them. No, he didn't say you're going to. See, that's where a lot of times Christians miss it. They're trying to put it all off till the afterlife, somewhere up in the pie in the sky in the sweet by and by. No, thank God. You can have it here in the sweet here and now, thank God, and you can be delivered from the powers of darkness. You can keep yourself from the wicked one, being born of God. For he says, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. When you're born of God, the greater one comes within you. That greater one is the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and he will keep you from the wicked one if you walk in the light of what he says. But you see, so many times Christians don't do that. They don't do what God's Word said to do. Now, you notice that he said, ye are of God little children. See, and we're in the fourth chapter, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Ye are of God little children, have overcome them. Have overcome them. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. I want you to know that the greater one dwells in you. If you've been born of God, you have the greater one dwelling in you. Now, there's a scripture. I think we need to go to the scripture in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that reveals some things about the new birth. You see, we talked about this. Now, we've said number one is being born of God, and we're still dealing with number one. Being born of God is one of the ways to keep yourself from the wicked one. Now, Paul begins to talk about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Well, now notice, he said, he is a new creature. Our one translation says, he is a new creation that never existed before. One translation says that he's a new species of creation. In other words, he's never existed before in that form, in that righteous state. Because when you're born again, you become the righteousness of God. Oh, I know there's a lot of people that don't believe it, but it's nevertheless, it's the Word of God. Now, not you, your body. You see, this is where some people miss it. They think, well, my body's not righteous. Well, you're exactly right. Certainly, you don't have a righteous bone in your body. Your flesh is not righteous. But the spirit man, when you're born again, your spirit man becomes the righteousness of God. In fact, just look on down verse 21 in that same chapter there. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In other words, Jesus made himself to be sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Well, thank God if he made himself to be sin, then it must have made us the righteousness of God, because many other scriptures that back that up. But you see what the problem is, many times Christian people are trying to be righteous. Somebody said, oh, no, no, Brother Capps, I'm not righteous, but I'm trying to be. Well, now, there's your problem right there. That's number one problem, is that you're trying to obtain something through your own good works that does not come that way. It comes by being born of God. You see, you're born of God, and you become the righteousness of God when you're born of God. In fact, that's the only way you can become the righteousness of God. See, some people are trying to become righteous by being baptized or being, you know, joining some church. But I want you to know you don't get that way by joining a church or being baptized. Now, don't misunderstand me. You can join a church and be baptized after you're born again, but that is not what saves you. Now, he's talking about overcoming the wicked one, and that's what our subject we're talking about, and he's telling us how the new creation, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Well, now, you know that's in the spirit realm. He goes on and says, all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to him by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Well, you may not feel righteous. You may not think you're righteous. You may not look too righteous. And sometimes you surely don't act too righteous. But God's Word says you are if you're born again. So just simply begin to agree with God's Word. Now, you're going to find out a secret as we go along in these teaching sessions on keeping yourself from the wicked one. And that is that it all relates to doing and acting as though it were true what God said about you. Well, the reason for that is because that it is true. You see, what God said about you is certainly true. So you need to learn to react to that and act as though it were true and walk in the light of what God said about you. All right, I want us to go to number two now. Number two under how to keep yourself from the wicked one is to walk in love. Now, you see, too many Christians try to walk in strife and still obtain the blessings of God. I want you to know that's almost impossibility, if not totally an impossibility, because it's just not scriptural. Let's go down to, we're in 1 John there, chapter 4, and let's start reading with verse 6. We are of God. We are of God. You ought to underline that in your Bible. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Now, I want you to listen to this, what John is saying here. For God is love. Now, notice, it did not say that God is power. It did not say that God is strength. It says God is love. He that loveth not knoweth not God. In other words, it's talking about the agape love or the Christ kind of love. Let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. This agape love is not the natural human love. It is supernatural love. It comes by the Spirit of God. Someone said, oh, I just can't love that individual. Oh, yes, you can. The Bible says you can. You see, you have to make your decision. You have to make a decision. Unless you make a quality decision to walk in love, then you're not going to walk in love. I can tell you that right now. I mean, you won't have to get out there but about 10 minutes till you find out, Mac, it's hard going out there to stay in love. Well, number two under keeping yourself from the wicked one is walking in love. Well, you have to decide to do that. Now, I'm going to make a statement here, and we'll back it up just a little bit with Scripture. But I want to make the statement now. Love is not what you feel like doing. Now, some of you ought to write that down. Love is not what you feel like doing. Love is what you decide to do. You decide to love your brother. You decide to love an individual. You decide to do that, not because you feel like doing it. Now, you see, natural love, it would come if you just felt like it. But no, now this, we're talking about supernatural. It's something that you have to decide to do. It's not something that's just going to fall on you like ripe apples off of a tree. See, if you're born of God, you're born of love, for God is love. And love is not something you feel like, always feel like doing. It's something you decide to do. See, you don't always feel like going to work in the morning. But, Mac, it's the thing to do, and you've learned it's the thing to do, so you go on whether you feel like it or not. Well, love is the same way. It's something you make a quality decision to do, and you walk in love. Now, look at verse 20. In this, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. See, there needs to come a unity in the body of Christ. We need to learn to walk in love toward our fellow man. No, we've walked too long in strife. Men and women have walked too long in their own natural feelings. Now, let's go on to chapter 5 and read verse 1 there. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. Now notice, if he love him that begat, he loveth also him that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. See, he's not through talking there. And keep his commandments. And this is the love of God, that we keep his commandment, and his commandment is not grievous. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandment. Now, you see, I made the statement that love is not something you feel like doing. Love is something you decide to do. Well, you decide to keep the commandment, and the commandment is to love. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. In other words, your faith is able to carry you into victory that will absolutely overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil, and all else that wants to come against you, because it's supernatural. It is being born of God. Now, too many times people don't realize what being born of God really means. Some people don't realize what born again means. In the last several years, the phrase born again has come to the forefront. And I think it's time that people realize what it actually means. There's too many people that have joined churches and have never been born again. There's many of you listening to this right now that have been baptized, you've joined the church, you've done all kinds of good things, you're paying your tithes, you're giving to the church, you're trying your best to be good, but you know somehow there's something down inside that's telling you that that's not enough. Well, that's exactly right. That's not enough. Jesus tells us that we must be born again. And I want us to just back up and deal with that just a little bit, because there's some of you need to hear this. You need to get a hold of it. In John chapter 3, there was a man came to Jesus whose name was Nicodemus, and he saith unto him, let's begin reading there with verse 3, or verse 2. The same came to Jesus by night. In other words, Nicodemus, the Pharisee, came to him by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Now, you see, this is the question that many people ask today. And I've read some articles in newspapers and that actually made light or fun of the phrase being born again, and just put it down and belittled it. Well, God have mercy upon those people that are stuffed with ignorance and unbelief. You see, the Word of God tells us here that Jesus told him, you must be born again or you can't see the kingdom of God. There's some of you that have joined churches, but you've never seen the kingdom of God. See, the kingdom of God is within you. It's not without. It does not come with observation. And you're not going to be able to see it. It is within you. It is a spiritual perception, and it comes by being born of the Spirit of God. When a man is born again, he receives the Spirit of God within him, and he receives the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. Well, see, this Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, or truly, truly, more literal rendering would be, truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Well, we know that the kingdom of God comes within. He said you have to be born with the second birth. You can't just be born of flesh and enter into the kingdom of God. Then he goes on in verse 6 and explains it. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now let's stop for just a little bit and look at what Jesus actually said. That which is born of flesh is flesh. Well, when you were born the first time, you were born of a fleshly nature. You were born of a woman, and you had a fleshly nature, a fleshly body. But Jesus said you must be born again, and he says that which is born of the Spirit, in other words, of the Spirit of God, is the human spirit. Now, I want to add that word human so it'll help you understand what he's talking about. Now, you see, sometimes people don't realize that you are a spirit being. If you go back to Genesis, you find out that God created man in his likeness, in his very own image. Now, when he did that, he formed man's body out of the dust of the ground, but he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, or, as the Amplified says, the spirit of life. So man became a living spirit being. Now, if God breathed spirit life into Adam, then what kind of life was that? See, if it was the breath of God, it had to be the life of God. So man became a living spirit being. So when Jesus says, "When you must be born again," he's talking about the spirit man must be born again. Certainly, the body is not going to be born over again. You know, you see people that are bald-headed. When they got born again, it certainly didn't grow any hair on their head. Well, if it's talking about reborn, the physical body being reborn, well, we'd go back and be little babies again, physically. But no, we become a new creation spiritually inside. The inner man is cleansed and made completely righteous like Jesus. Now, I'm going to say that again because it's exactly what I meant. Yes, you heard me right. When you are born of the Spirit of God, when you receive Jesus as Lord and ask Jesus to become the Lord of your life, there is a new creation that takes place on the inside of your human spirit. You become a new creation that never existed before. And you will be able to walk in a different light. Now, your physical body may still want to do some of the same old things. If you have bad habits, if you have different habits of the physical flesh, you will have to put to death those habits. But the inner man will give you strength to do that. Now, that's where many people miss it. When they get born again, receive Jesus as Lord, they said, "Well, I thought all my troubles would be over." No, all your troubles won't be over, but you've received supernatural power inside the human spirit to put you over in life. Inside the human spirit, you have been born again. The inner man has become a new creation that never existed before. So then to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil, and to keep yourself from the wicked one, it's quite necessary that you understand the rebirth of the human spirit. So let me just take it a little step further. In Titus 3:5, Paul says, he tells you how that you are born again, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now, to wash or regenerate means to cleanse and to make clean, you see, to purge, to take away all that is considered not to be right, or that which is wrong, or that which would be of trash or filth, to take it away. So he said, by the washing of regeneration, regeneration of the human spirit, you become a new creation. So he said, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now here is the key to understanding the rebirth or being born again. Jesus said, you must be born again. That which is born of spirit is spirit. In other words, the part of you that's born again is the human spirit. And it's done this way, by the washing of regeneration, cleansing, making completely whole from all sin and all filthiness of the spirit, and made a new creation that never existed before, and the restoration of the Holy Spirit within you, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now, when Adam sinned, listen very closely now, when Adam sinned, he lost the power charge of his human spirit, which was the Holy Ghost. Now, he was still a spirit being. His spirit still existed. When he died spiritually, he did not cease to exist, or his human spirit did not cease to exist. See, spirits never cease to exist. You need to know that. This message is concluded on side 2. Please turn the tape over.